Hey everybody, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Happy Thursday. Hope everything is well in your part of the world. We are going to be getting started in just a moment or two. But if you have a moment before while we're waiting for our other people to join us, if you would type in the chat, say hello so that I know that you can hear me. Make sure my audio is working. And also feel free to answer our just for fun question. And I see Beth has joined us. Hey, Beth. And Gabrielle, welcome. And Sam is here so far. Welcome, you guys. Great to have you. And thanks for saying hello in the chat. Appreciate it. For those of you who are new, we're going to just give people another moment or two to join us. Gabrielle says baking is her go-to hobby or activity. Isn't that fun? I love it. And Daniel, welcome. See that you've joined us. We're just waiting another moment or two for other people who might be joining us to jump on. And welcome. All right. Hey, Daniel, glad you joined us. Welcome. Sam says, bicycling through my local park. That sounds wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And Daniel says, I listen to vinyl records. Awesome. Daniel says, having a great day. Good for you. Me too. Gosh, it's beautiful in my part of the world. My go-to hobby, my favorite activity is running. I have been running for 25 years now. And I love it. So I'm officially hooked, I'm a junkie when it comes to running. And I have two dogs. I take them running with me. So it's a kind of a family event. But it's awesome. And I get to run in a beautiful part of the world. I'll run by the ocean every day. So there's a whole bunch of great things going on for me there. All right. Who else? Anybody else? Yeah, I think that's it. Awesome. So those of you who are new to the program, oh, and Hillary just joined us. Hey, Hillary, welcome. Glad you're here. For those of you who are newer, we've had a couple of new folks join the program in the last, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks. So welcome to all of you. The way that this call goes is that it's an exchange of questions. So I ask you some questions. Starting with our just for fun question. You don't have to answer if that one's optional, most definitely. But then I go into a couple of other questions to kind of get us started. And then we go into a question and answer segment where you post your questions in the chat. And if it's a little more involved question and I need more clarification from you, I will unmute you so that we can have a discussion. And then we'll wrap up. So this is your call. I hope that you've come prepared. We really try to encourage you to come and be bold and ask questions. This is your time to get immediate and direct feedback on questions that you might be having about anything at all in regards to the program, to what you're trying to accomplish. So please don't be shy. Make sure that you participate. I love to hear from everyone. And it is much more fun and much more valuable to everyone on the call, as well as those that will be listening to the recording that couldn't attend in person today. When there's lots of good questions, it's really fascinating. And trust me, you're not the only one who has the question you have. So your question will be helpful to everyone. So I am going to move ahead. Oh, and is my microphone going on and off? Is everybody hearing that? Thank you for letting me know, Daniel. Sometimes that happens with my microphone. If it continues, just text, share in the chat again if it continues to be a problem, and I will switch to a different connection. But thank you for letting me know. All right, we're going to dive in. First question I have for all of you is, what material are you implementing? Some of you are newer in the program, some of you have been here for a little bit. Let me know what session you're currently working on, if it's session one, if it's session three, five, six, wherever you happen to be. If you've finished all your sessions, let me know. If there's something in particular within a section that you're focusing on right now, maybe it's building your website, maybe it is trying out different warm email prospecting approaches, different things like that. Anything that you're working on, please type it in the chat and let me know. This is helpful for me so that as we go through the rest of the call, I'll have a better understanding of where you are. And Gabrielle, you're on session one. Welcome and congratulations. Glad you're here. And Daniel, I see that you're still having that problem. You might try, Daniel, log out and log back in and see if that helps. Not sure if that would make a difference for you, but you won't miss much. We're just going to do Q&A here for another minute or two on some of this. So if you want to log out and try coming back in. Daniel says, I just finished session six on qualifying prospects. Great. There's a lot of good information in there. Good for you. And I know you're in the throes of talking to people and talking to prospects already, so that's great. And Daniel said he'll be back in a moment. Yeah, lots of things to think about. This course is not very long, but it's designed to give you the most important components, the things that are must-haves, honestly, in terms of you getting a writing business off the ground. So, and Sam says session one positioning and section one. Great. Take your time with that, Sam. If you're really new to this, you've never had to talk about yourself or really maybe perhaps aren't clear on exactly who your target audience is going to be just yet, then take your time with that. And don't hesitate to ask questions here, or if you don't have any here, you're not far enough in yet. And that's for any of you who are just getting started, Gabrielle as well. Even after today's call, that's what the Facebook group is for. We really encourage you to not hesitate to ask questions. And there's a Q&A thread that you'll find in the Facebook page, in the Facebook group. And that is where you should post your question if you would like Ed or I to address it. And both of us do that. We're in the group. I'm in the group every day. Ed is there pretty close to every day, if not every other day, to give feedback and answer questions. So don't hesitate to post your questions there. Daniel, glad you're back. Definitely let me know if you have a better connection. It seems to have cleared the problem. Sometimes it just needs a burp, I find, technology. All right. Laird, hey, glad you joined us. Saw that you just jumped on the call. Glad you're here. All right. Any other material that anybody's implementing? This will also help me in terms of how I work with you on any questions that you might have too. So. All right. Well, we're going to dive right into the question and answer. And I think I missed a question. There you go. I skipped right over my very first slide. This is usually the first thing we start with. I knew there was another one. Share a win, big or small. And this is something I really like to start with, simply because Ed and I both agree that starting off with looking at what's gone well is just a great way to start your day or end your day. And we do the same thing with our calls. So sometimes I like to pause at the end of the day and say, what went well today? What do I feel good about? And so as far as a win is concerned, type in a capital W prior to your answer, if you would. And that way it helps me as I look through the chat to make sure that I haven't missed anything. So type in a capital W, and it can be simply something simple, big or small. Like I said, in the case of people that have joined, maybe it's the fact that you joined, or maybe you've gotten through the welcome part of the program and you're now in session one, I mean, anything that you feel is a win, please share it with us so that we can celebrate together. It's one of the things that's tough about having your own business. Sometimes you feel kind of isolated. So this is a great way to connect with people. Daniel says, this week I got back on track with studying the program. There was about a two-week period where I got really busy and wasn't able to take time for it, but I'm ready to try and finish all the sessions within the next 7 days. Great. You can do that, Daniel. There's a lot of material, as you already know, because you've been through a part of it. I know you said you just finished session six, I think. Yes. The last two are a lot of good information, especially now that you're, like I said, you're working. I know you've got I believe you have a client and you're working in that direction, finding new ones. So great way to finish up. Absolutely. And the other Daniel, I bought my own domain and set up my website. Also found this amazing course. Great. Great. Congratulations, Daniel. The website is another thing for, I know there's a couple of you here who are brand new to the program. That's something that we kind of front end load this program with lots of heavy lifting. And one is the positioning, because that takes some thought and some time. And then the second one is putting a website together. There's a bit of work involved in that. So be patient with that process as you move into that. But congratulations, Daniel B., for getting your domain and getting things rocking and rolling. That's great. All right, and Beth says, I've been super sick. My doctor actually suggested I put business building aside and get a day job. Huh, that's an interesting recommendation from a physician. Anyway, I'm too close to launching to think about that. Good, but I do need to get better. I know I can do it. Thanks for the encouragement. Absolutely, Beth. You know, this is about, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And as much as I'm sure you're ready to just move ahead, and I'm glad to hear that, your health comes first. You're not going to be able to be good at what you do unless you're feeling your best. So fascinating to me that your doctor made that kind of a suggestion. That's really interesting. Don't let that get to you. In terms of his perspective. Only you have your perspective and only you understand what your goals are. So stay focused on what's important to you, but definitely put your health first. Most definitely. And stay active in the Facebook group too, Beth, by the way. If there's any way that we can support you, please let us know. Gabrielle says, I set a goal to finish session one ahead of this call, and I did. Yay! I have questions, but I've worked through all the exercises. Great. Congratulations. Sam says he's worked through all of the background, knowledge, passions, talent sections, spent a lot of time on it. Great way to review my career, but I also know I have to really focus on a few key possibilities. Good. Yeah, like I said, take your time with it. And be open-minded. The other thing that I'll encourage all of you who are really new in the program is to don't get hung up on this being 100% perfect out of the gate. I can tell you that when I started my business 7 years ago now, it looked very different than what it does today. So what I thought I was going to be doing, the people I thought I was going to be targeting, companies, etc., you know, really, I've pivoted over the years. So what Ed likes to say is 80% happy with the positioning, because you don't know until you get out there and start, you know, really start working with these clients. So try not to get too hung up in the positioning phase on having it be exactly perfect and it needs to match. And you know what? As long as you're close, it's a starting point. It's really a starting point, not an end point. All right. Beth says, my doctor had a ton of strange feedback. Oh my goodness. I have some pretty strong thoughts about that, but I'll remain quiet on that. But interesting. Very interesting. All right. Well, thank you folks for sharing your wins and congratulations to everybody. You guys are making some good progress already. So that's great. So we're going to jump ahead to the question and answer because we already answered the other question. So we'll dive right into question and answer segment. And I would love to hear what you need help with today, what you might be struggling with, or maybe just unclear, anything that might have you stuck. We want to get you unstuck today. So make sure that you type a Q in the chat prior in front of your question and keep your question focused and specific. One question at a time, if you would. And we've got a good-sized group, but we'll have time to come back to you if you've got more than one question. Sometimes what I find is that if I answer a question for you, it brings up new questions. So that's quite all right, but just one at a time. And we'll see what see how that goes. And then tell me perhaps one or two things that you might be considering in terms of resolving or direction that you want to head. All right. Daniel's first out of the gate. Hello, Daniel. All right. Your question. As a new copywriter, does it make sense to reach out with warm emails to sizable businesses? Sizable to me means a business that may have a marketing department or making at least 500K to $1 million per year in revenue. How do we aim for businesses that are proportional to our humble beginnings? That's a great question, really and truly, because in the beginning, you're just thinking, where do I begin? And it can be very overwhelming. So if for those of you who are new, really new to the program, again, this is something that you want to take. I like to have think of it as, Daniel, in terms of buckets. So I have maybe three or four buckets that I work from. So it might be, the children's fairy tale, the three bears, right? Goldilocks and the three bears, where she tries each bed and then finds the one that's just right. Well, you kind of approach this the same way. In the beginning, you're looking for small companies, medium-sized companies, and big companies that are within your target audience, that are within your specialty. And I know, Daniel, you're in fitness and health. So anything, any company that has to do with fitness and health, you want to try a couple from each bucket. So maybe I'm going to call on a couple of small companies, ones that I know are don't have a marketing department, they're too small. Then a couple of medium size, and then a couple of large. So you want to kind of mix that up a little bit, and don't be afraid to do that. The small companies are going to have two issues. One is that they're not going to have a marketing team, but they're also most likely not going to have a marketing budget. So those are two things to keep in mind. However, the smallest companies are the ones that are going to need your help the most. So what I would recommend is that you reach out and call on a couple, right? Maybe reach out to a few and see if you can get some, maybe even a lower paying, a low paying project, something simple. Maybe you can barter with them in some way, trade. Like I always look for people that, maybe could help me in return. Maybe it's a web developer or something like that. What you want to do is look for, and maybe even consider a pro bono project, do a little bit of work for them for free, and then in exchange for them being giving you a testimonial and allowing you to use the information or whatever work you do, whatever project, to be part of your portfolio, which should be a regular thing anyway for you. Every client should agree. You should have that built into your agreements, but it's a little further down the road. So your smaller companies are going to have less money to play with. So be a little more flexible there. If you really want to get a client or two, you really want to get some projects in the door and get your feet under you, that's a great way to do it. So that's why we recommend, yes, target a few smaller businesses, because it's a good way to get started. The medium-sized companies are going to be, depending on the industry that you're targeting, medium-sized companies might be a real sweet spot for you. They're just big enough to know they need marketing and they need content, but not big enough to have a team. That might be a really sweet fit. So, and you're going to have to try that and see where that takes you. And then the bigger companies, definitely mix them into your marketing. And you want them in that marketing mix. You definitely want to have them on your list of people that you reach out to and call on. So, because you never know, even though you're new to what you're doing, you never know where there's a need. And some companies are a little more tolerant. You know, some companies are happy to work with you because of your background. So like for you, Daniel, in particular, I know that your background is really strong. You might easily pick up some projects with larger clients that could then lead to other things like longer term, perhaps retainer type arrangements with the bigger companies that have the budget. So just because they have a marketing team doesn't mean that they have a writer necessarily. So keep that in mind. They may have a couple of marketing specialists, if you will, on their on staff, but that doesn't mean that they have someone who's a really good writer. So just be open to the possibilities with all three of those buckets so that you're doing a good mix. A little bit of everything. Great. You're welcome, Daniel. Yeah, right now is a time for you, and you in particular, Daniel, because you're a little further along in the program, to be open-minded and to try things. This is, you hear the term in our industry, A-B testing all the time. Try it. See what happens. You might have great looks someplace that you never expected to, and vice versa. Maybe you think, this is going to be my sweet spot. And you start calling on these people and you're just falling flat. So you just never know until you start reaching out and trying these different things. And that's why it's good to mix. Don't focus all on medium-sized companies because that's where you believe the business is going to be. Try a little bit of everything. See what it brings you. All right, Gabrielle, you're next. Gabrielle's question, I haven't had a career to date, but I've consistently worked in writing, in internships and freelancing, have taught at the university level and worked as a food tour guide. Between my paid work and the creative projects I've done for fun, digital magazines, blogging, documentary, podcast, one consistent thread is distilling complex information, typically after research and interviewing. The potential target audience industries I've identified are education, which seems to not be that interesting to me, no problem. Nutrition companies, no idea where to go with that one. And tourism or foreign investment companies focused on the Caribbean. I feel out of my depth with that one too. So I'm curious if you have any suggestions. At the moment, I'm thinking to just position myself as a long form writer of things like case studies, articles, white papers, even ghostwriting. All right. Gabrielle, I'm going to unmute you because I want to ask just a couple of questions. I'm hoping you can speak. Hello there, Gabrielle.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Great. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. So I want to just talk a little bit because it sounds like you obviously said you went through session one and yes. You're just kind of starting to work in this direction. One thing that I would recommend, and I know Ed recommends as well, is to not specify a craft just yet or a particular, like the white papers, case studies, that kind of thing.
Okay.
To really focus on some kind of an industry or a target market. And so I know you said you don't have any direct, let me just go back and read this again, that you haven't really had a career necessarily, but have worked in writing. So tell me a little bit about the freelancing experience that you have.
So I freelanced as an editor for a university professor for a chapter that she published in a book. I've worked with a small business to create internal documents use for their own proposals for web development work, and then that they give to their clients as part of their reporting that they're doing for the clients.
Okay, great.
So basically, they don't have to do the writing because I've done it for them.
Okay.
And then I've done articles for my local newspaper. I've done some like really much longer form pieces for an annual publication on Anagua. That's an island in the Bahamas and the straw industry of the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I've done some blogging through internships and then also for the Ministry of Tourism in the Bahamas. And I had some internships in New York with a music publishing company and a arts nonprofit. And so I did I wrote for their newsletters, their blog posts, their, what are those called? Press releases.
Okay. Yeah.
Biographies for the website.
Okay. So you've got a really nice diverse background, and you've got hopefully some of these things you can use in your portfolio and be able to share as samples.
Yeah, some of them.
Probably not all, but some.
Not all, yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. You've got a great background. You really do, a very solid background. And the reason I ask is because I just wanted to understand, like when you said freelancing, that caught my attention. I wanted to understand what your experience was. One thing that you said that stands out for me that might be interesting is small business, because there is a real need. And I love what you explained of what you did, you know, crafting internal documents for these small businesses. That is something that businesses need. So if there's a particular, if there's a particular industry that you're interested in that you know will have that kind of need, so you want to think about small businesses that perhaps are writing proposals. Right. Maybe they are bidding on work of some sort. Maybe they are, you know, a service business that involves a lot of documentation. Maybe they're a training company, and so they're looking to have their training modules, you know, rewritten or edited or refreshed or whatever. So there's lots of different things, right? Lots of different small to mid-sized companies you could focus on, and having that experience, bringing that experience forward to say, here's what I've done. That's very powerful. So that's a good foot in the door for you. The other thing that I would recommend that you think about is, this is a starting point, and I know you're brand new to the program, so I want to encourage you to think about, where could I get some business right up front, right? Get some business in the door fairly quickly because of my background and experience. And then as you start to get some momentum, then start to look at, okay, what am I enjoying? Like one of the things that I learned is I was, of course, in the beginning and before I were, I went through one of Ed's courses, by the way, several years ago, and that's how he and I connected. And it was a course where before I started working with him, I was, you know, writing anything for anyone, right? I was just like, yeah, you know, I'll write whatever you need. And then as I started to get into it, I realized, wow, I really don't enjoy writing email sequences. Like I'm capable of writing sales copy, like landing pages. I just didn't like it. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't doing it for me. But I didn't know that until I started getting deeper into it. So this is an opportunity for you to look at where is your experience the strongest, seems to be, you know, concentrated. And if it's smaller business like this, then maybe that's where you start. For now, this is the starting point. And that's where you focus on is, you know, small to mid-sized companies who have needs for writing for different types of documentation and you know, maybe even the blogging, especially where you've got experience blogging, magazine articles. All of that stuff is really terrific background and terrific experience. So I think you've got a lot of good stuff to work with. Is there anything in particular that you would like to do? I mean, is there anything, you know, is there I know you said education isn't really your thing or you don't seem interested, but is there anything that does kind of stand out like, ooh, I'd love to get into this industry?
I'd say, unfortunately, not really, because okay. I've really enjoyed the creative stuff that I've done, but it's just the reason I decided, okay, I'm going to switch and think about business writing is because that one project that I did for the small web development business was the one where I felt like, okay, yeah, I was really valued and paid for my work here. Whereas when I've worked in film and when I wrote that podcast episode, it's like, oh, I didn't really make anything. And so it's not worth the effort.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're heading in the right direction and your thinking is right. And like I said, don't worry about it not being perfect coming out of the gate. You want to get your feet under you. You know, you want to get your legs under you. You want to get your business off the ground. That's the most important thing. And typically looking at where do I have the most experience and maybe could get some quick hits. That's probably where you want to start.
When I thought about that way, like what is interesting to me, because of the research and interviewing I've done, and listening actually to Ed's podcast and hearing about case studies, I thought, oh, well, that sounds interesting and like something that I could do, you know, talking to people and then writing about it.
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
Like a pretty straight line.
So in order to overlap that, what you could do is take a look at, so as you start looking at companies to call on, start, you know, to for warm email and, you know, looking at building your list of companies that you might want to work with, is look to see if they have case studies on their website and see if you could determine how old they are. And that might be an opportunity. So you're overlapping. You're still talking about reaching out to small business to be able to do writing for them. But that might include long form writing. So you might just say, I do long form writing for small business. And that includes things like case studies, white papers, internal documents, you know, training materials, those are, you know, that might be, so make that distinction. You could just add that in and say, you know, I focus on long form. That's where my experience is. Your blogging and your articles are both considered short form writing. So,
The articles I've written have been like 1500 words plus.
That's, well, 1500 up to like, my gosh, maybe 3000 words is considered still short form. It's when you're getting into something that's more like 20,000, you know, 10,000 and up, that's a long form. Same thing with, and some of your case studies might be a little bit shorter, but you could lump that into long form as well. So it's up to you. I mean, you could even leave that open for now. Again, focus more on that mid-sized business that's growing and needs help, needs some support. They probably don't have a writer on staff. They definitely need help with their writing and just can't do it in-house. So that might be a really good fit for you to start. And again, keep in mind, this is just, you're putting a stick in the sand as a starting point for yourself. And then as you move forward, that could change and most likely will. But for now, we want to just get you up and running get you some business in the door so you can start, you know, building and getting momentum.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Good luck. And definitely keep in touch on Facebook if you need any more support.
Okay. I will.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hold on. Where are you? All right. Great question. Great question. All right, Daniel, you're up next. Daniel B., you're up next with your question. When you're writing for B2B, how experienced as a writer do you need to be? Are we talking about you must know how to string a sentence together and edit well, or you must have some prior experience, be it from writing for newspaper, magazine, etc.? It almost seems as if writing for B2B is on a harder level as it requires more than writing a humble blog post as your job experience. Knowledge and qualifications almost seem required. Would a business risk taking you on if you don't have that much experience, especially if they're willing to pay more and might be expecting to receive good quality for what they pay? My background is that I have little writing experience and haven't spent a long time working for a specific company. I'm not sure if this is an incorrect express perspective or not. It's a great question, and I think you're obviously in the beginning of trying to sort this all out, and those are very good questions. So go all the way back to the beginning here. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. There's a lot of things to consider, but I want to keep it as simple as possible for you is, of course, writing experience is a positive. It's a plus, but it is not a must have. Do not consider that being critical. I think that I've been working with Ed, helping him to coach all of you through the B2B Launcher program for 2+ years now, and I've been partnering together, and I've seen a lot of people come through this program, and many that come out of the corporate world, for example, they have retired, maybe they got burned out and decided I'm done, I just, you know, ready to make a change, or maybe their company closed or merged or something, and they were let go, and they're transitioning into writing. they happen to be subject matter experts. They happen to be really good at knowing a particular subject, but have zero writing experience or very little, right? They might have limited writing experience. That's okay. It's a matter of being able to position yourself well to the audience saying, look, I've been in your shoes. This is what I see a lot on websites too, is that I've run a business like yours. I've worked in this role in a business like yours. You're positioning yourself as a subject matter expert, and then you downplay the writing piece. So as long as you're a good writer, you don't have to be, and that too, that's another point. That's why this was got a lot of points to cover. I hope I don't forget any, but writing is a craft that requires practice and repetition to get good at. I've been writing full time as a freelancer for 7 years, and I still think that I'm not a very good writer. It's just a thing. It takes time. I have a degree in English. I came through college. I graduated college a million years ago with a degree in English. I've been writing my whole life. I'm continuing to hone my craft. I'm continuing to expand my understanding. So nobody is a good writer. They're a developing writer. We're all developing writers. So keep in mind that just because you are fairly new, you're new to this, doesn't mean that that's going to have a huge impact. And do give yourself the grace to learn and to grow as a writer. I read it, for me, the tough part is reading other people's writing who are really good. It makes me cry. I think, oh my gosh, I wish I was that talented. It takes time. This takes time, and you have to do a lot of it in order to get better and better and better. And you have to continue to learn as you go through these experiences. It takes time. So, just keep that in mind. Especially, just coming out of wherever you've been prior to this, coming into starting a writing business, you need to have some patience. As I will say many times over, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn. That's what's exciting about this, to be perfectly honest, is to, have those bumps in the road and move on from them. So should you be able to string a sentence together and edit it well? Yes. And be comfortable with that. I know many of you come from the AWAI program. I think I'm not sure if all of you have been through that, but that's a writing program, or particularly that teaches you how to be a better writer. Those are the kinds of things that I wouldn't recommend that you run back and do that now. Be careful not to engage in too many programs at once. One at a time, get through this, and then go back and do a writing program if you want to. But like Ed's program isn't that super long. Focus on getting your business off the ground, and then if you want to hone your craft. I continue to take writing programs, even though I've been doing this for a long time. I take different classes from multiple different sources. And not a lot of them. I don't take lots of classes, but I at least do one a year, depending on if there's a specialty that I really want to hone, or I feel like I haven't mastered a particular part of my writing. I'll go back and look for more training. So keep in mind, this is developing for you. Let me see. And so I also I'm just rereading your question. So would a business risk taking you on if you don't have much experience? Yes, they would. They would. And there's a couple different ways to do that. And I know you're new in the program, but one of the things that Ed recommends is to consider taking on a pro bono project. As a new writer, you want to keep that kind of up your sleeve, so to speak. If you get to the point where you're having a conversation with a prospect and they're asking about experience, it's a great way to be able to turn around and say, you know what, I'm in the process. And we always encourage you to be really candid and honest about these things. I've started my business. I'm in the process of expand, of growing my business. And what I'm looking for is an opportunity like this. And then offer to do the project, this one project, pick up a project, write something for a company pro bono. Because that's another investment. I just said that I take writing classes every year. That would be the same as almost taking a writing class. Not quite the same, but it's an investment in your education is what I mean. So you might ordinarily charge a couple hundred dollars to write that article or to do that project. But in this case, you're going to take that money and put it into your education, you know, that's going to become part of your education because you're going to do it pro bono so that you can get that learning, get the experience, get the sample. There's so many things that you get on the backside that it's more than worth taking a few pro bono projects up front. Will businesses take a chance on you? Absolutely, they will. I've had that happen. I had that happen a couple of times. And so they're out there. And maybe the bigger companies might not, but a mid-sized company might do that. And a smaller company, we started out this conversation about talking about your three buckets, your small, medium, and large companies. That's why it's important to have that really healthy marketing mix, because if an opportunity comes along and this particular company, maybe they're a smaller company, they really, really like you. You've made a great connection with them. Yep. You know what? That would be great. Let's work together. So yes, there's companies out there that will be more than happy to take a risk. The most important thing to do to keep in mind when you're talking about pro bono is to say one project only, or for these two articles only. Really be, you know, definitive in regards to let's work on this project together pro bono, and then see how it goes from there. So you're going to negotiate from that point forward after you've done the pro bono work and they're raving new fans and they're super happy with you. Then let's talk about what other projects you have and what price points they would be at moving forward. So this is by no means a permanent park in place. You're not going to be working for free. You want to use that judiciously and strategically. I have taken pro bono work from companies that were just right in my sweet spot. I knew that I really wanted the experience and to be able to put them on my list of clients and use that sample. Very, very important. I was willing to make that investment so that I could then get that experience, get that testimonial, get that that sample on my website. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. This is a big topic. I'm hoping that helped you just kind of put it in perspective, because I don't want you to feel like, oh, no one's going to hire me because I don't have experience. We want to shift to, it's not just about writing. If all they needed was a writer, they could go to one of the platforms, Upwork or Fiverr or something like that, find a writer for super cheap, right? Because they just need somebody to write this. I don't have time. That's, you know, you go there if you just want something and you don't care about the quality necessarily. Not that there aren't quality writers out there. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that those kinds of places, most of the time when people go to Fiverr or Upwork, it's because they're looking for cheap, quick. That's not us. That's not the way we work. So we want to really, pro bono work too can really do a tremendous job of helping to build a relationship. It's a great relationship starter for you if you're just getting off the ground. So cool. I hope that was helpful. I see that you said thank you. I'm hoping that made sense. All right, Beth, you're up next. Beth has a question about raising rates. Do we do this annually? Do we tell existing clients in advance you'll be raising rates, or keep them at the rate they began in the hope of getting further business and inform that they're getting a discount for the next year? Do we raise them across the board only for the larger clients? Would appreciate your thoughts. Again, there's a lot to talk about here. You've asked a couple of different questions, all, you know, clustered together. Who do I raise my rates on? So the answer to this is it depends. you've touched on in your question, you've touched on a couple of different things, which is why I'm saying it depends, because it is, it depends on the size of the company. It depends on how long you've been working with a particular client and what relationship you have with them. Sometimes raising rates is a great way to get rid of a client that's just a total pain in the butt. They're really not a good client. You don't enjoy working with them. Yeah, I'm just going to raise my rates, and that way they'll go away because, yeah, I just don't want to work with them anymore. So there's so many things to think about here. That said, that yes, once a year is something that you should just build in to your business operations plan. And I want to really encourage all of you to begin thinking of yourselves as business owners. And I want to encourage, you'll hear the word strategy from me many, many, many times over. I am a big fan of strategy. All of what we're talking about here, started out with the three buckets, the Goldilocks of the three bears. That's a strategy. That is strategy. That is something that you can incorporate right now today into building your business. How many small companies am I going to call on? How many pro bono projects am I willing to take up front? Maybe one, maybe two, maybe none. I don't know, right? That's part of your strategy. And this is the same thing. So what I will recommend, what I usually say to people, and it's just March, early March. I talked a lot about this back in December because January 1st is a great time to raise your rates. And it's just, hey, we're coming into a new year. I have my annual rate increase. Just want to let you know about that and let the client decide, depending on, again, your relationship with them. Hey, just want to let you know, I'll be raising my rates across the board coming, the first of the year. And let me know if you have any questions, that kind of thing. So a rate increase is something that, yes, you should do annually, but very strategically. And again, if you've got clients that maybe you have a client you love, that you just love working with, but you know that they're in a tough spot and just couldn't tolerate that increase, you could say, you know what, I'm raising my rates as of January 1st. However, I know I really enjoy working with you. I'm going to hold my rate increase for you until April 1st. So let's just get you through the first quarter and see where that stands. So you can always, again, this is strategic. This is a relationship building opportunity where if you come to a client and say, hey, I'm going to give you an extra quarter at the former rate, I'll honor the existing rate. How are they going to feel about you? That's probably going to be a ton of goodwill and some real strengthening to that relationship. So I could go on and on about strategy because this is a very strategic thing. And it's kind of higher level than what I want you to be thinking about right now. Most of you are really new. You're just getting your businesses off the ground. This is something that is a little more complex of a topic, if you will, a little bit more, just complex, because many of you don't even have your first client yet. So this is something that is a bigger issue, but definitely worth, and Ed talks about it. If you're at a place, Beth, where you really want to know more about this, go to the b2blauncherwebsite.com. Just don't log in, but just go to Ed's podcast and article section and search. Do a search in the search bar there, and you'll come up with some really great articles on this topic, much more in depth. And he even has, how to raise rates, that kind of thing, how to increase your rates. He'll probably have three or four articles there for you to read if you want to dig in a little deeper on this topic. And that's for anyone. If you're looking for something and maybe the call, we've just had the call and it'll be a little while, either go to the Facebook page and ask the question there if you've got a question like this, or always go back to his articles on his website, and search in there, because he's inevitably going to have at least one article that addresses the issue that you have a question on. So try to keep that in mind as you move forward through the course. So I hope that's helpful. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because, like I said, it's a little bit more complex of an issue than what I really want you folks to be focusing on. Really just the basics of, let's figure out who we're going to be targeting, get our websites together, figure out how to reach out to people, how to tap into your network. Those are the kinds of things that that all of you should be just working your way through right now. So, but great question, Beth. I mean, that's just, I can tell that you've got some experience in terms of working with clients. That's your question is definitely something that is, again, a little more complex, but a great question. So awesome. Well, thank you all for being, coming with good questions today. It's been great. And we've been I hope you can see kind of a theme through some of these questions. And I keep going back to the beginnings. And yes, Gabrielle, feel free to ask another question. Go right ahead. But it's a matter of being, right now you're building you're just getting started in your building, but you want to think about these things from a strategy's perspective. Is how do different things serve me? How does a rate increase serve me? How would a pro bono project serve me? What will it do for me? How will it help me to, how do I leverage that? How do I build that into what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish? All right. Gabrielle has another question. Thank you. And she asks, I tweaked one of the value statements I wrote before you answered my question. How does this sound? I'm a seasonal writer who works with small businesses. I'm a seasoned writer who works with small businesses and professional service firms that need internal client-facing documents, internal and client-facing. I've worked with companies in the public, private sector to create clear, engaging content. I think that's great, Gabrielle. I think you're spot on. This is a great, great starting point in terms of your value statement. Love it. Yep, I'm a seasoned writer. I work with small business and professional service firms. Very clear that need internal and client-facing documents. Great. That really is very clear and very much, it's a great statement. That'll be a great headline for your website as well. And I like it. Yeah, very clear. And then to go on and say I've worked with companies in both the public and private sector. Excellent. You're off to a great start. Love it. Love it. Love it. I hope that feels better for you. It's kind of, you were kind of all over the place in your first question. So like, oh, I don't know if I do. I hate education. I really want to write for that. And I'm this and I'm, you're kind of like all over. So just even, so small business, keep in mind, small business is a huge category. Really. I mean, because you're looking at small businesses small businesses can be any kind. It could be a landscaper or a hair salon, right? Or a dentist, or, these are B2C businesses. Maybe it's, are you B2B? That might be an extra differentiator that you could add in there. So maybe I'm a seasoned writer who works with small B2B businesses and professional service firms. But the ones I just mentioned were B2C, right? You would go to a hair salon, you would go to, call somebody to cut your grass, that kind of thing. So if you want to focus on business to business, that might be a better fit for you. Don't know, but that's just an extra piece, business to business versus business to consumer. So that might be an extra piece. But small business is a huge category. But over time, Gabrielle, what will happen is you'll start to realize, I really love working with companies that do X. There might be some industry that you discover as you get into it, like, ooh, these projects are really fun. Like, I'm really liking this. And you might start to focus in on one particular. Go back to that. Think about that company, actually, Gabrielle, that you already worked for, that you already did the writing for with that document, the internal document. What industry were they in? Was that something that really you enjoyed? And start looking at that industry to see, if I've already done this for one company in this industry, I wonder if there's other companies, most likely, that are in that same industry that are going to need that exact same type of a project done for them. So look back to anybody that like that you've already worked with. Yeah, and you said web development. Absolutely. So that's a perfect, I love it. Thanks for adding that in, Gabrielle. Web development is a great industry for a couple of reasons. They are a little more technical, and you need some technical understanding and helping to break it down, the complexity of the topic into layman's terms, so to speak, so that the every person can read it and understand it. The other thing that with web development is that, guess what they're looking for? They need somebody to write web copy. So you get a double hit. You could get a double bump there. You could even, potentially write for them, but then perhaps help support them as they develop websites for their clients. So there's a real double bonus there for you, potentially. And lots and lots and lots of industry, lots of businesses out there in that field. Marketing companies, and one-offs. So a marketing company might be a good fit. Somebody who helps small businesses market. Maybe they're calling on small businesses to help develop their marketing. Maybe you could tuck up behind them and be a writer for them, that kind of thing. So lots of things to think about there, but great. I like that idea. So there, we've even kind of narrowed that just a little bit more. I would stay right there, Gabrielle, and run with it. See how it goes. We're going to be testing, right? We're going to get that website up. We're going to get you out talking to these people. See what kind of response you get. It's entirely possible that you start calling on other web development firms and you just happen to fall flat. Nobody's really interested. Maybe you've reached out to 20 or 30 of these firms and they're kind of eh, and they're not that interested. Okay, time to look at, you know, now where do I go? Where do I go from here? Is there more need somewhere else? Until you start playing with that, you might not know for sure. So just testing. You're going to be out there trying it and seeing what kind of results you get. Awesome. That's great. Yay. There, we fixed it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So questions. Anybody else have a question? Don't be shy. This is a place to ask any kind of a question that you might have. And no question is too small. Sometimes people think, I feel silly asking this question. Please don't, because I can guarantee that there's probably at least one other person on the phone who has the exact same question. So don't hesitate to step up and ask. This is the place to do it. And in the meantime, what I'm going to do, I'm going to shift and ask you folks a question. What's been valuable so far in our conversation? I'm still taking questions, so if you come up with one, feel free to type it in the chat. But if you don't have a question, just type in a capital V and tell me what's been valuable so far in our discussion. We've been on for almost an hour already. And let me know if there's anything that's really stood out that we've talked about that has been most helpful for you. All right. Sorry about that. All right. Beth says the mix of business sizes we can try at the outset. Love that. Good. Absolutely. The other one that's really important is your network. So many of you haven't gotten to that point yet, but one of the things Ed recommends in the program is to take a look at friends and family, colleagues, current and former colleagues, and reach out to them. And there is, honestly, there's a real gold mine there. So that's something to be thinking about too. But once you get to that point in the program, you'll learn more about it and how to do it. And he walks you through all of that. And I would definitely recommend, don't be shy about reaching out to former colleagues. I reached out to people that I hadn't talked to in 6 or 7 years, people that I used to work with, perhaps at a company that I was, you know, no longer with, or that kind of thing. I reached out to a lot of people and was incredibly fruitful when I first got started. Gabrielle said, aside from your help with my question, hearing the idea of working on a pro bono basis fleshed out made it a lot clearer to me. I'd read it before, but it didn't sound as attractive until now. Good, good, good. Yeah, you know, pro bono is uncomfortable. You're like, oh, I'm going to work for free. That's not okay. and it's not okay to do long-term. And that's why I said, don't park there. I always encourage people in this particular part of the program, in this, in the beginning is when you're first reaching out to people, keep that in your back pocket. You know, keep the idea of pro bono in your back pocket. Don't just lead with, hey, I'll do it for free because I'm desperate, right? We certainly don't want to sound desperate. And we don't want to come across as, and we're just so willing to give our time away, our time and our talent. We don't want that. We want to use that in a negotiation situation only, where we get into talking about, all right, let's talk about. And I usually recommend that you hold that back in that point where they're looking at you. Well, what experience do you have? Tell me more. Do you have any samples? That kind of thing. You know what? I am just getting started building my business. Here's what I'm looking for, and here's what I'd be willing to do. Can we talk about perhaps me doing one project for you pro bono so that you can see the quality of my work, and then we can decide if we should proceed? You know, this is an opportunity for you, for me to, you know, to work with you, to help you with this project, but also for you to see the quality of what I do and how we work together. And then we can decide from there how to move forward. This is a very comfortable, easy way for them to say yes, but it's relaxed because there's no commitment. There's no long-term, like, look, we're going to work on this one thing. I will do it because I'm interested in using it in my portfolio. I'm interested in having you give me a testimonial if the work is meets your satisfaction. It's an easy yes, but we want to use that strategically. We want to be careful and do a couple. You know, I'd say do one or two of those types of things to get you off the ground. And because the other thing that it will do for you, I'll share this with you briefly. It's going to give you a huge bump to your confidence, I guess, you know, your self-confidence going in. If you actually have a project, you have a real client that you can talk about, a real project and real results, right? You got a client an incredibly happy client is a result. All right. It doesn't have to be, well, they got, you know, they earned X number of dollars in new business as a result of what I wrote. It doesn't have to be, tied to a dollar amount somewhere. This is this client was over the moon happy with me. That's a big result for you personally. So lots of benefit to pro bono as long as you're strategic about it and use it judiciously. So good. Glad that was helpful. Daniel says value for him was knowing where to start. As a beginner, it's easy to get confused and not to know where to start. The pro bono one is also helpful. Even though I had to Google a word. There you go. It's all right. It's quite all right. If you're not familiar with it, pro bono, yes, for free. Basically, you're doing the work without pay. So sorry about that. I should have explained that. So thank you, Daniel, because I will do that moving forward. I hate it when someone uses a term and I'm the only one in the room who doesn't know what the heck it means. So sorry about that. All right. Well, we have a few more minutes for more questions if anybody would like to ask more questions. This has been a great call so far. I'm really happy that that everybody's been participating. I am going to move to my last question of the call, but that doesn't mean that you have to that you can't ask more questions. We've got time. So ask another question if you have. What I would love to hear about is what your top action item is. And it doesn't have to be something that we talked about today. It might just be something that you personally are going to focus on in the next week or so. And I'm hoping it has to do with the program, that you're going to move forward in the program. But feel free to type in a capital A and what your top action item is for the next week or so. And Sam said, you said something like, don't focus on a craft. I came into this program thinking I was going to be doing one kind of writing, but I'm already seeing how limiting that can be. Starting with uncovering my best target audiences and differentiating seems far more sensible strategically. Perfect, Sam. Yay. I'm so glad. I'm glad that you're seeing that. It's a little tricky. This is a process that you're going to go through. And right now, you're very much at the beginning, as you well know. And so, gosh, I'm not really sure. Like I was explaining earlier, I was doing some email campaigns, ugh, not my thing, doing some sales pages, ugh, you know, it's just a slog for me. And I didn't know it until I got into it. You know, you come in because you hear that, oh, you know what, writing sales landing pages, you could make tons of money doing that, you know, or writing white papers, you can make tons of money. And that's true. Okay. Those two things, those statements are true, that you can make a lot of money doing that. And so you come in thinking, oh, I can write sales pages. And well, yeah, I can write sales pages. I can. I just don't like to. And I didn't know that until I tried, until I started getting involved with it. And then I realized, yuck, yuck, yuck. This is just not where this is not how I'm wired. I'm capable and I can slog through it, but I'm not, I couldn't imagine spending my days doing this. It's just not interesting to me. And so this is the part of the process where you get to do some experimenting for yourself with both your target audience. Gosh, I thought I wanted to work with this particular type of a company or in this industry. And as I got involved, I realized, you know, this isn't for me. Same thing with, gosh, I thought I was going to come in and write white papers. And you still can. So don't discount that entirely, Sam. I want you to put it on the back burner for right now. What we want to focus on is who you're going to be calling on, what's going to be appealing to them about you, what's the wow factor. And I'm going to talk about that. If you submit your website for review, I will talk about wow factor. And what I mean by wow factor is, what is going to make my prospect look at me and go, wow, I want to talk to this guy or this gal. She seems amazing. She has the background. She's going to know what she's talking about, right? So when they land on your website, they don't want to hear about what they want. What they're looking for is, and not even knowing it, they're looking for wow factor. They're looking for a reason to contact you. And so your website should be one of those things that, what's the most important thing to the people you're calling on? And that's why it's so important to get your positioning pretty close. You want to know, all right, if I'm calling on small businesses, right, like Gabrielle's going to be doing, what's important to them? What do they care about? They don't care about your degree in English necessarily, or they might not care about, you know, that there's things they probably won't care about. But if you think about, if you sit back and think about them, what do they care about? They care about growing their business. They care about making their lives easier. You know, universally, it's like, how can I just get this done? I just got to find a writer. And it's a nuisance thing for them to find a writer. It's not like, hey, I'm going to spend the whole day looking for a writer today. Uh-uh. I haven't got time for that, right? I got to find a writer I can just, you know, let loose, and then, because I got other things to do. So, and especially the smaller the business, the more that's true. But honestly, for everyone that you're going to be calling on, it's important for them to land on your website and go, wow, this guy or gal, I want to talk to them. This is really cool. This really appeals to me about their background. It's got to be something that's going to make them sit back and say, wow, I want to reach out. So that being said, once you get your business, get some momentum in your business, then what's going to happen, Sam, is that you can then say, you know what, I figured out I love working in the healthcare industry, for example, but I think I want to do white papers because I'm really realizing that long form writing is something I'm good at. I really enjoy the research. I enjoy the in-depth and really being able to dig in. It's something that's really working for me. That's when you start to marry those two things, that craft of, wow, I happen to be really good. I love doing this. Hey, I'm going to start selling white papers to the healthcare industry in this particular, you know, in this particular specialty or something. So that stuff will come together, just not right this minute. So give that a chance. Leave your craft on the side and start thinking about how could I sell that in to, is this an audience that's going to want that particular thing that I'm thinking I'm going to be wanting to focus on? So it'll come around. It's just, this is an evolution. Your business is going to evolve as you grow it. So I'm glad actually that you were able to make that distinction and see that there's some value to really focusing on the who first and then the what second. What are you going to be bringing to them? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right. Well, we do have time for another question if anyone has one. And sorry, and action items. I'd love to see action items. Sorry, I got off on a little tangent there, but I wanted to be able to explain to you a little bit about the value. I appreciate Sam bringing that up because there's a lot of confusion when you first come into this. And so that was a great thing for you to share, Sam. I appreciate it. Top action item. Anybody want to share an action item for the coming week? We're going to be going into the second full week of March. Woo! My goodness, we have 1, 2, 3 weeks left to the quarter, the first quarter of the year, and that's crazy to me. Crazy, crazy. So any action items? I'm trying to think of what I'm going to be working on. I have got a lot of stuff I'm going to be working on in the next week. Gabrielle said she's looking forward to beginning session 2. Good for you. I am working on a couple of different things for my business, but I got plenty on my list. But my top action item, it's just like the kind of the thing that floats to the top that's, you know what, this is the next big obvious thing that I want to work on. And for Beth, she says, crack open a session 5. Good for you. Good for you. Daniel B says, being laser focused on working my way through this course and putting time consuming stuff to the side. Yeah, absolutely. If you're in the course, take advantage of it. You know, focus on this course. Use everything too. You know, Ed and I always talk about, you know, we want people to use every aspect. Use the Facebook group. Interact. Ask questions. Come to these calls if you can, or listen to them afterwards if you can't be here. Take advantage of these. There's some great information we're sharing, and we're here to help you. So try not to get distracted by other things. Sometimes I see students, members coming through this program, and they'll post in the Facebook group, hey, I just started another, this class for this and this class for that. And it's like, whoa, 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 one at a time. Focus on this. Put all your energy and your focus into it. Get through it. And then go to on to other things of interest. If you want to take a white paper writing class, go for it. Oh my goodness, go for it. If that's where you think you want to head. But one thing at a time, because there's a lot to do here. In case you, for those of you who've been in it for a little while, you understand there's a lot to do. There's a lot of work to do to get this in place for yourself. Then go ahead and move on to other things. Never stop learning. Definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, I think we've got all our questions. I see no additional questions here. I think I've got everybody. Well, great, great call today. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for participating. It's always great to hear from you. It's always great to work with you on these different things. And then, oh, Daniel's got another question. Fire away. Sam says, in session 1, focusing on contacts, relationships, some of them will be surprised to hear from me. Yes, they will. Absolutely. Keep us posted there. Let us know how that goes, actually, Sam, in the Facebook group. If there's anything that happens that surprises you, let us know about it. All right, Daniel, got your question. Are the sessions meant to be available from the start? No. Most of the sessions are locked out for me, and some people are saying that they are starting with session X, for example. Is it because they have been in this course for longer? Yes. So what the way that it is designed is that once I complete session 1, you will see a button that says, I've completed this session, and when you click on that, session 2 will now be open and available to you. So it's designed so that you can't just jump around, because it's confusing to do that. It would be very confusing to do that. This is very specifically laid out in a way that it builds, the next concept builds onto the next and so forth. So this is the first thing we want you to be focusing on, so that then session 1, for example, figure out who you are and what you're strongest in, what your position is in the world, and then go on to build your website and your, you know, update your LinkedIn and do all of that stuff and then start reaching out. So it's sequential in that sense. And so that's why we once you finish session one, you should see a button that says I've completed the session or session complete, and then it'll open up the next one for you. So there you have it. That was an easy one. Easy question. All right. Well, thank you all again for being here and for participating. It's great to have you. I will, I'm going to shut this down here, but you guys have a great rest of your week and a good weekend ahead. And don't hesitate. Jump on Facebook. Ask questions. Ed and I are here for you. Please take advantage of that resource while you're here. So you guys take care, and I'll see you on Facebook.